is we talk about limitations and inadequacies. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever get kind of lost in life? Maybe you've had a sickness or you forgot to do something that was on your to-do list. On the way in here today, I was just looking at my folder and my notes, and I stuck them on the side of the car, and I forgot that I put them there. You know, 10 minutes later, when I got out of the car, it was all crinkled up like that. And then when I was writing with my pen, the clip came off my pen, broke off my pen. And when I came up to start speaking, we couldn't even get the microphone to turn on after several attempts. Now, have you ever experienced anything like that in your life? And after I sat on my folder and broke my pen, I have this brick. This is a 6x9, 2-inch paver that I was going to use as an illustration today. And I'm really being careful right now. And my wife said, I think I better carry this in for you. And I said to myself, because I don't want to be self-sufficient anymore, and when people offer to help me, I said, thank you. And so when she took the brick and lifted it up, she said, why are you taking this 10-pound brick into Evident Life? And I said, to use an illustration. What illustration? Well, the illustration that I'm going to be giving. Well, what illustration is that? Well, I forgot. Just carry the brick in. So we may use it, we may not. So that's what you're getting today. And I'm really grateful for the privilege to speak here. Where are we? Oh, Evident Life Church. It's good that Pastor Eric and Velvet get a chance to go to Cabo. And did you get the text, Mr. and Mrs. Jones? Did you get that text?
What do you mean, what text?
The text. Didn't Eric text you that he was staying another week?
Two weeks.
So on your prayer request, you better pray that Eric comes back. That's all I'm saying. Really want to encourage the church. I think we're in our fourth year now. I've been here since the beginning, even though you probably haven't seen me as much lately. And we all have skin in the game here. And we're doing it for the glory of God. And it's always my privilege, before I get to just speak the word, to encourage the church and some things that I have noticed and seen. And so three things I'm going to highlight today. I'm going to highlight the fact that you have this prayer exchange, that you pray for one another, you care about one another, that you're in supplications and intercessions, and you believe that prayer is effective, and that you can approach the throne of God's grace and petition Him and receive mercy and help in the time of need that anyone might have. And we all have needs. We all need to be looking to the one who is the source of providing a providence of all the things that we need in life for godliness. And so kudos to the church, to the leadership, and to you all for, they don't call it the fishbowl, it's the glass bowl, for putting in your prayer requests and then taking them and praying those 2 weeks together. That's excellent. Excellent. I see the youth in this church just filling more and more of God's presence, a desire. The Lord is being effectual in His work in their hearts. It's obvious that they're pursuing the Lord, the things of God. I appreciate the prophecy from the young man today that's challenging the it's not just the millennials anymore, is it? I don't even know what you're called, but you're not millennials. You're, you know, I'm approaching and you're a 20 or a little less. And so it's exciting to see the youth today, in today's culture, today's secular culture, saying, listen, what I choose is the things of the Lord. What I'm pursuing is the things of the Lord. I want to have fellowship with God. I want to look into the Word of God and understand it. What does God say? And so that's encouraging to me. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Then the third thing that I want to encourage you in is the fact that I just hear all the time, I look at the updates, I talk to Eric, and the amount of community, of shared life that goes on between everyone in this church. Someone's having a baby, someone adopts a child, someone is having some problems with sickness or health or family, and the support, the meals, the prayers, the commitment, being there for them, a moving, a changing, a job, all that you do to bear one another's burdens in Christ is excellent. So excellent, well done, continue it. And then I'm not going to say much, but it is God's gift to give a church a permanent place to dwell, to do mission ministry, and to have to worship. And so I know that's what Carlos was talking about in terms of praying for. Now, one of the other things that you suffer when you get older is dry mouth. And so I have felt weak many times in my life. Have you? I hated taking tests in school. I felt inadequate, insufficient, and powerless. Anytime somebody said, we're going to take a test. When my father disciplined me, I felt weak. When I started a job, when my children were first born, and now even at parenting children and grandchildren, if you have children, you feel needy. You feel inadequate. You need God's sufficiency and God's help. Something happens in life. There's a tragedy. You lose your wife. You're a single father. You feel weak. You're needy. You're desperate. But the most needy and desperate that I felt in my life is when it came very clear to me that apart from God's unmerited grace, the sacrifice that Christ offered on Calvary as my sin bearer, and He took the wrath of God that I deserved upon Himself. He who knew no sin became sin for me so that I could become the righteousness of God. That's when I realized that I was most helpless, but yet most hopeful. So all of us, as we begin a journey, when we talk about weakness or inadequacy or not having enough power, we always want to understand it's the exchange that was made in our redemption that frees us then to have hope for all other provisions of God and the power of God to work in this present life. That's where it begins. And so if you're not a believer, if you've not made that exchange by faith, not by works, because boasting about us earning a salvation through somehow we're perfect and righteous is not biblical. Although it's preached in many places, the gospel is simple that His unmerited grace as our Savior freed us from sin and death, from all the things that we were subject to in weakness. Through Christ, we have received all the things that are eternal and hopeful, that our citizenship, that our names written in the book, that we've been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. All those things make us strong in God. That's why we see Joshua being told and Timothy being told, be strong and courageous. And what he was talking about is being strong and courageous in the gospel, in the Lord Himself. So we're going to read on out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The very paradoxical text where Jesus says to the Apostle Paul personally, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is perfected in weakness. Now, that's paradoxical. to many of us. And so it's important to understand, as you look at 1 Corinthians with Pastor Eric and as the church, we're going to drop into 2 Corinthians and look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So you have the text of 2 Corinthians there. All right, here's the text. Chapter 12. Now, we're going to do a little journey from chapters 1 to about chapters 13, just real quickly, but we're going to drop into chapter 12 here. So, let's go. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in heaven, in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexplicable things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do and say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pled with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. Let's put up the overall theme here that for today's message. And it's human weakness, it's exchange. Weakness and strength in God. Human weakness provides the ideal opportunity to exchange our weaknesses for God's all-sufficient grace and the display of His power. There should be an "of" in there. And the display of His power. And so, as Paul begins Corinthians, and he winds up in chapter 12, there's 13 chapters, there's 3 main subjects that he keeps weaving and integrating in and out of the Corinthian, 2 Corinthian letter. And they're this. Talks about Paul's life in Christ, his strength. Number 2, it talks about Paul's apostolic authority, and it's being challenged, and Paul needs to defend it. And then it's talking about that Christ was sufficient, as Christ speaks to him in this life. So there's 3 points there. Our guy left the my points here. So 3 points. Can we push that one up real quick? There they are. So those are the 3 points I want to get to. The consistent theme, human weakness provides the ideal opportunity to exchange our weaknesses for God's all-sufficient grace and the display of His power. So the first point, Paul talks about his journey in life. So Paul has a journey. He's on a journey. I just flew into Atlanta with Dee Dee a few weeks ago. My mother, who's 85 years old, just had a little setback, and it was important for us to take the journey. And she was way on the other side of the Metroplex, and so we land at Atlanta Airport, and we drive down the I-10s and I-80s, and we weave our way around, and we finally land on the red spot where my mother was so that we could talk to her personally. And so as we go through chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Corinthians, you'll see things very personal about Paul. He's going to give you an up-close and personal look at his life and what he believes, how he responds to God, what his response to challenges, a weakness. And he begins in chapter 1 and he just right out of the gate says that the Father, our Father of all compassion, comforts us in all our troubles. So our Father, those of us in Christ, comforts us in our troubles. That he comforts us in our sufferings. He goes on to say that, and he wants the Corinthian church and all the people that would be reading the letter to know about his hardships. And so he talks about the fact that there's great pressure beyond our ability to endure, he describes it. We despaired for our lives. Now, folks, I believe that at some point in your life, and God can spare people from it, we all feel stress. We feel despair. We wonder if we have the ability to cope with it. He said our hearts felt the sentence of death. But then he says, and so all this happened so that we may not rely on ourselves, but on God. Human weakness provides the ideal opportunity to exchange our weakness for God's all-sufficient power. The journey continues in chapter 3 and 4, and Paul says, the ministry that we all have is in this flesh. It's in this body, and he calls it jars of clay. And so the reason he calls it jars of clay is because they're just normal jars of clay. They're breakable, they're fragile, just like our mortality is. And he says, we were hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We were perplexed. You ever been perplexed in your life about a situation? But not despairing. We were persecuted, but not abandoned. We were struck down, but not destroyed. We're outwardly wasting away, but inwardly being renewed. The theme is, he says the theme, the reason is to show the all-surpassing greatness comes from God. The reason is that these light and momentary troubles are achieving in us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. There's reasons. There's something happening in the Spirit. So we fix our eyes on the things that are not seen, not on the things that we see. We make an exchange. We're deliberate in our minds that are renewed, as we just heard the exhortation and what Eric preached on just a few weeks ago, so that we can not be bound, or we can be free. As we said, things are broken to live a life for Christ in faith and in hope. And that we can trust, not in ourselves, but in His all-sufficient grace. And that somehow, in this mystery of how God works, that His power would be made perfect in these jars of clay. In these moments of ministry where we might be, or life in our journey where we're hard-pressed, or where we're perplexed. I don't really like teaching this message because every message that I've ever taught, I have to live out. God makes me live it out. And for over a decade now, I've been living out some very serious physical things. Not to say all the stuff that I suffered prior to my life, which I talked about last time I was here. Chapter 5, he says, we have these tents. Oh gosh, we have these bodies, you know, that are drafty and leaky and smelly and dusty and, oh, flimsy and temporary. But each day, as it's wasting away, we groan and long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up with immortality and at home with the Lord. So you talk to some people about mortality. And look at that, it's kind of gross. I mean, you know, we use deodorant. We don't want to talk about our mortality and you know, we're tense and we're wasting away. And well, look at me. I look in the mirror and I go, you got to be kidding me. Does that look better? I'm going to use some of that stuff they advertise to get the wrinkles and the spots. I need help. No, listen, when I visited my mother, my 85-year-old mother, she lives in an assisted living home with 80 other residents, and every believer in that place is groaning and waiting. They're groaning and waiting to exchange their mortality for immortality. To be with the Lord. And listen, if from the beginning you haven't seen your helplessness and hopelessness apart from Christ's saving grace and work and His sufficient provision for you for life here and after, that will not be what you're groaning for. We need the gospel. So Paul talks in about money and Macedonia, and they were poor and they were weak, but they were made rich. Why? How can that happen? It seems paradoxical. Well, God is able to make all grace abound in us at all times, having all that we need so that we can abound in every good work. Human weakness is the ideal opportunity for us to exchange our weaknesses for the all-sufficient grace of God's grace and the exchange of His power. Number two, Paul had to defend himself. The reason we get so up close and personal is because Paul has stepped into a hornet's nest, not of his own choosing, but Corinth is a port city. It's a dual port city, shipping city. It's an elite city. It's a super city. It's progressive. It's wealthy. It's hedonistic. It's diverse with Greeks and Hebrews and Romans. It has architecture, religious temples, textiles, and pottery. And it also had their own appointed super apostles. And they were wanting to take over the church at Corinth. They infiltrated the church at Corinth. They were counterfeit false apostles who infiltrated the church. They were impressive. They were constantly boasting about their superior knowledge. And they were a team, and they would pat each other on the back. Isn't he great? Isn't he smart? Yes, he is. Isn't he great? And isn't he smart? Oh, we're the greatest. And they duped the people into believing that they were superstars. They pushed themselves forward. They were tall, dark, and handsome. In today's world, they'd make every blog. They'd make CBN. They'd be tweeting. They'd be twerping. They'd be blogging. They'd be doing everything you could imagine. They'd be IMing. They'd be on the morning show, the afternoon show, the evening show. They'd be interviewed. They would look so smart. They were impressive. They were stylish. They were professional preachers. They knew how to push people around. And they knew how to extort the money from this wealthy church. Oh, and they had convinced the people in a very cunning way. We've got a new message for you. A new gospel. It's progressive. Oh, it's relevant for today. This gospel is, you see, the gospel is, you don't need this Jesus thing. You need knowledge. That's what will save you. And the hearts of men is all this thing for idolatry of ourselves. And to where we can be someone and something and part of the team. And, you know, we might be super apostles too. And we belong to the super apostles church in Corinth. And I mean, what else is there in life? It's serious. Everybody likes super apostles. They like superstars. They like superhero strength. And we all marvel at Iron Man and Batman and Captain America. We love them. We pay millions of dollars to see their movies. And I go see them. But in my day, and you have a picture up there in my day. That's Shirley Temple and Paul Palmer. That's my older sister. It's black and white. Did you get it? Hey, listen, that's what I looked like when I was about 7 years old, 6 years old. And so it was great. The black and white things we had Superman in black and white. We had Popeye the Sailor Man. And, you know, he had spinach cans. And you know, when he opened the spinach can and he, you know, downed that thing, his little skinny arm, bam, man, he was popping them babies, those guns, boom, spinach. And my mother would say, "Eat your spinach, you'll be like Popeye." And I go, "Absolutely, eat my spinach." You know, you want to be strong, don't you? You want to have big guns. I mean, we're into muscle cars and muscle things and muscle men. And I mean, we want to be powerful. Right? We want to be immortal. We want to be like the super apostles who were the best of the best of the best. I do love it when people are looking for, employers are looking for the best of the best of the best. And I go, I don't have a chance. You know, C.S. Lewis couldn't even do math. Yeah. Paul, I can't do math. So I thought, I had an idea. I was impressive. I mean, I was easily impressionable. And I thought one day, because we had a barbecue that was a brick barbecue, and on the brick barbecue, and then from the brick barbecue about over here was a swing set. And the swing set had a trapeze. And, you know, and we also had Tarzan. And Tarzan could do his call. And he had control over all the animals in the forest. He could save anybody from any kind of ordeal. And then, you know, I had a tree, a mulberry tree. And so I got the idea. Oh, all right, I'm going to put a cape on. And I'm going to get up on the barbecue. And I'm going to be Superman. And because we like super things. And I got the trapeze going. And I thought, yeah, like the circus guys. Okay, when it comes this way, that's when I jump. And then I swing out and the mulberry tree, I'll grab the branch and I'll swing back down and I'll hold myself well. And so I got my cape on and I got up on the barbecue and, you know, I feel awesome. And I jumped. And the trapeze broke. And my mother was watching me from the kitchen window. And she came out the back door and she was laughing. That's what happened to these guys. See, they were telling Paul, hey, anything you can do, we can do better. And anything you can do, we can do better than you. They called him out. They even said, hey, listen, have you ever seen the guy? He's tough when he writes, isn't he? But have you ever seen him in person? He's weak. He's not impressive. And he's so kind and gentle. See, they didn't understand. They confused meekness for weakness. He's weak. He's weak. His writings amount to nothing. He's nothing in person. And when he speaks, it goes nowhere. He's weak. So like the bullies they were, it's not like some child's having fun in the nursery or needing their mother. I think we should send some super apostles in there. Super pastors. Hey, if you're looking for a super pastor, this isn't the place. Hey, I appreciate it. Here's another thing I appreciate. I listened to a message that Eric did a few weeks ago, and he made some statements. You know, we all make statements we should make. And then so he came back the week later, and he said, hey, I just want you to know that when I said these things, and my passion and my enthusiasm and my faith, I don't think that that's the way I would have liked to have said them in regard to, in view of God's Word and how I really want to be clear on what I teach and preach. I want to correct that. That is excellent. So they push Paul. They push him. They start pushing him. They call him out. They start pushing him. They get in his face. I mean, these guys are arrogant. They get in his face. I'm telling you. They're pushing him. Hey, listen, we're taking over Corinth. We've got their support. We're abducting your church. We're kidnapping them, and they don't need to hear your wimpy, puny, weak message that they need Jesus Christ crucified. We don't want to hear that nonsense anymore. Whoa. Well, they pushed the wrong guy. Folks, there are churches today that aren't preaching the gospel. Oh, it's progressive and it's modernic and it's all these things. We need to preach Jesus Christ crucified. So Paul says, well, okay. I know a man. I know a man that went to level one, where the birds fly. Level two, the galaxy that we know about. And level three, beyond all the heavens, and heard inexpressible things. Visions and revelations and insights. I know a man like that. I'll talk about him. And hey, guys. Hey, you guys that jumped off your barbecues. I just want you to know that it was so awesome. It was so awesome. The only thing left for me to boast about is my weakness. What? Can you see these guys? What? Oh, yeah. I heard such inexpressible things that no man is permitted to even talk about. It was so awesome that I was even given a thorn in the flesh to keep me from being conceited. Can you imagine? These guys are saying, this guy is insane. He is gone. He's a whack job. He's not only weak, he's a whack job. So he's given a thorn. So what's a thorn? Why would the Apostle Paul be given a thorn in the flesh? Was it eye trouble? Was it lameness? Was it malaria? What was it? It was given by a messenger of Satan. Okay, God allowed that. He allowed Job to be tested. He allowed Peter to be sifted. God allows things. Paul prays three times. He asked the Lord, heal me. It was painful. He lived with pain, chronic, debilitating, severe pain. And he wanted to be free. He did the right things. He petitioned the Lord. He prayed. He prayed faithfully. He prayed earnestly. He prayed specifically. So why did God allow it? And Paul says, well, he allowed it so that I would not be conceited or think of myself beyond what I should, so I wouldn't boast about anything but the sufficiency of my Savior and His power to perfect weakness. Paul says, I want to know the sufferings of God and be like Him. It says in Hebrews that Jesus, the Son of God, though He was Son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. We learn obedience through what we suffer. So point three. So he prays, he's talking to the Lord, and then Jesus comes personally to Paul, like he's heard His voice many times, personally. Personally. When you're hard-pressed, when you're almost out of your mind, when you feel the most inadequate and weak, your Savior is there to say, my grace is sufficient for you. See, weakness is a state of any inadequacy or insufficiency where we can't control a situation in our life, whether it's our health or our circumstances or our finance. I'm not talking now about laziness or irresponsibility or excuses or foolishness. That's not what I'm talking about. Dee Dee and I were doing a paver project. We had four pallets of pavers. And they were over there and the project was over here. And so we would load up the wheelbarrow with 25 of those 10-pound pavers. We'd load them up. And as we load them up, I didn't realize that my neighbor across the street the neighbor across the street was standing out there, and we load them up, and I can barely do one, and so we put them up, and the wheelbarrow's full, 250, 260 pounds, and I step aside, and Dee Dee puts both hands on the wheelbarrow, and she weighs 128 pounds. Pushing it up, you know, and she gets a hold of it and pushes it. My neighbor says, what kind of man are you? And I said, when I'm weak, Dee Dee's strong. See, FDR, the President of the United States, for four consecutive terms, world war chaos in economy and war, was a paraplegic. But we don't
talk about the W word, weakness. So we don't take pictures. And next time, Paul is going to do it in the dark.
So they don't take pictures. You know, seeing the FDR in the wheelchair. He's a paraplegic, 39 years old. He got sick. He got an infection. He got polio. Yet he one of the greatest leaders there ever was. Listen, what's your picture of manhood? Listen, my dad was a cowboy. My uncle was a Marine. I was the oldest son. And no time in my day was I not self-sufficient and strong and moved rocks and stumps. And when you made a fist, you know, my dad taught me. When you make we're in the children's time right now. And so for me to stand and my neighbor to actually say to me, what kind of man are you? Thank God. I just thought, you know, hey, I like this. I like that God's helped me. And somehow, in His sufficiency, He's come to me and said, Paul, Paul. Oh, and he has to do it every day. I live with a lot of pain. He comes to me every day and says, Paul, my grace is sufficient in weakness. Are you in pain? Pain's terrible. Physical pain. Are you in mental anguish? Have you had a relational deal that is so disturbing that it just torments you? Listen, Jesus would say to you, make this scripture your own. My grace, all of my providence, all of everything I have. When we say He's beautiful, that's all His attributes. Jesus, we worship He's beautiful, all His attributes in one. When we say His grace, it's His inexhaustible promise and blessings to us. His grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's enough. We've got to keep reminding ourselves, His grace is sufficient and enough. We talk about power and revival. We need to talk about, and His power is perfected in weakness. So make it our own. Write it on the wall. His grace is sufficient. Is present. It's not tomorrow, the next day. It's ever present. It's sufficient. It's enough. Oswald Chambers, if you'll put that quote up and then we'll end. He says, at first Paul saw his weakness as a limiting handicap. But later, when he saw it in its true perspective, he came to regard it as a heavenly advantage. You see, our weakness provides an ideal opportunity for God to express His all-sufficient grace and display His power personally, for you and for me. It's so easy to think it's for Dee Dee. It's for someone else. It's for you. Write it on your heart. Put it above your bed. Write it on the wall. Keep it before you. Because in this life, in this journey, you're going to say, Lord, thank you that your grace is sufficient. And we don't always see it today. So we fix our eyes on what is eternal and the promises of God and on who He is and all His sufficiency and His power in this life. That's how we live it. That's how we go on our journey. Amen. 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 All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're our Savior. Thank you that you're our friend. Thank you that you said you sympathize with our weaknesses. That you're together with us. You suffered just like us. Every weakness, you sympathize with our weakness. And that you say, my grace. That you invite us to come to your throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4 to find help and mercy and power and sufficiency in our time of need. Thank you that we can call on your name and that you are all sufficient and you are able to, with your power, help us in immeasurable ways beyond what we would dare believe, even ask or think. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for performing it in our lives and in our church. Amen.